IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Habib and Sayyid Muhsin. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, an interesting question, especially for those who are interested in religion and religious concepts, and that is the concept of compulsion in religion. There is still a misunderstanding among the believing people, even in the world of Islam. Nowadays, I could see it in the so-called broad-minded intellectual Sayyid Muhsin referring to one part of the verse of the Quran, 256, you know, La Ikraha fid-Din. There is no compulsion in religion, and they try to give their own interpretation. So when there is no compulsion in religion, why am I being converted to Islam, or why am I being at all called a Muslim? Oh, of course, the deen has to be defined over here. What is it? What's your answer to that,
bro? Well, La Ikraha fi Deen is before you become a Muslim. Okay. This part of a verse, mm-hmm. La Ikraha fi Deen, is before you become a Muslim. There is no compulsion in the religion. Obviously, you judge the religions, okay, and then you accept. Once you have accepted Islam, then obviously this verse does not have any application on the Muslims.
The problem is with this accepting mechanism. When you are born into a Muslim family, what is the accepting mechanism over here?
All right, there you need to, obviously there is no, you have to study.
You know, generation
the mechanism,
after generation.
The mechanism okay, for the Muslims, I said this in the beginning of the discussion as well, that Allah talks about tafakkarun, ta'akhilun. He talks about getting knowledge. And he, obviously, Islam is against following anything blindly. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But La Ikraha fi Deen, number one, is there are different aspects of this. Number one is for those who are non-Muslims, who are looking for the right path, and they're searching for it. And then once they have decided that, okay, Islam is the right path, and they accepted Islam, okay, now they're entered into the Islam.
Okay.
Now for them, before that, yes, there wasn't any ikraha. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any compulsion,
yes,
like there wasn't any sword or anything like to accept Islam. This is the wrong way of, mm-hmm, you know,
converting people
yes, into Islam. This is the wrong way. So this is not the way, number one. Number two, once you have entered the Islam, obviously there are specific rules.
Okay.
Let me just give an example. Like, for example, if you want to travel, you decide to travel to any country in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the, for example, UAE, yes, for example,
yes,
Arab Emirates, if you go like UAE, yes, there they have their own rules.
Okay.
You cannot just go to the... You cannot go to the seaside the way, yes, you go in Brighton, for example, in yes, UK or okay, in any other country. There is a specific rule.
Okay.
So before you're deciding to enter to a country for spending your summer holidays or vacations, you have a multiple choice.
Of course, we are not.
There is no compulsion on you
to go there, have the summer vacation in UAE.
There's segregation between male or female. Why not? But anyway,
it's been recently attacked by the Yemen Houthis. You know why not? Wasn't it?
So basically, even if someone enters the Pakistan or maybe like Iran or some Islamic countries, yes, there are some compulsions. They have okay, to obviously be bound
to
with those,
by the rules,
yes,
and by the laws by the over rules there. Okay.
Even someone who's traveling to US, for example, or okay, to UK,
yes,
there are specific rules. There are traffic rules. There are different rules
okay,
for the immigrants.
So where do you want to get to, brother?
So the problem is, like, when we talk about like Ikraha fi Deen, there's a misconception about it,
mm-hmm,
that they put this in every aspect of their life.
Uh-huh.
That is wrong.
Okay.
There is a limitation of this verse. That's the first thing. The second thing is for the Muslims, as you said, like for them who are born in a Muslim family, what should they do? Number one, they should learn about their own language, their own religion.
Okay.
That is necessary. And, you know, the problem is because the parents are illiterate,
mm-hmm,
in the religious sense. Because they are illiterate, that's why their generations are illiterate.
Okay.
We can see, like in the Islam, they say, like when the boy becomes 15 years old, he is baligh,
mm-hmm,
or the girl in the 9 years old, she is baligh. And in the book of rules, we read that the girl or boy who becomes baligh, they should choose a mujtahid, a person, a jurist, and they should select it and do taqlid. Now, does that boy or girl have this capability?
Mm-hmm.
or capacity of knowing about a jurist or making a kind of judgment out of it. Obviously, it depends on their training, how they were grown. It all depends on them. Our issue is because the parents themselves do not have enough knowledge of religion. That's why this has not been conveyed to the next generations.
Okay.
And that's the main issue. There is no issue in being born in the religious family or the Islamic family and following Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because of our parents.
By force, okay. Okay, like Rafid Deen.
I kind of disagree
with... Is this Deen Islam?
Yes.
Is it?
Religion.
Religion.
No, okay, it's not Islam.
You brought it forward, Islam. No problem. It's about Islam precisely. This verse is talking about Islam, it's talking about Quraysh, it's talking about the Kuffar during that time, right? And of course, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. What is the meaning of Islam? Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. It's the religion of Moses, of Abraham. It's a submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the main things to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to submit to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to submit to his successor Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and who comes after him, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. The thing is, I kind of disagree. Why did you separate between... it's compulsory for Muslims and not compulsory for non-Muslims. The verse is talking only about kafir. It's talking towards the kuffar. It's talking towards the kuffar. It's saying, la ikraha fi ad-deen. It doesn't have to do anything with the Muslims here. I think that we should talk more about what is the meaning of compulsory that you guys are trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
What is the meaning of force?
Yes.
Do you mean al-hurriya or freedom in the sense that there is no, for example, effects if I disagree with Islam? Then that really goes back to, how about inheritance?
Mm-hmm.
When a kafir cannot inherit from a Muslim.
Yes.
How about the laws that say about al-jihad al-ibtida'i and the difference between the scholars available and the sayings available? So what I want to say here is that there are laws available out there that contradict with the fact that there is no compulsory, the meaning of compulsory that I want to put forward, right?
Okay.
So I think here, and especially with the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam that explain it, especially with the Mufassirin state themselves, the meaning of this verse is not, it's not saying that you don't force people.
Mm-hmm.
It says there is no force. There's a big difference between the two.
Yes.
When you order someone to not force someone,
yes,
it's obliging you to not fight him. It's obliging you to not, it's obliging you to allow him to spread his beliefs and whatnot and whatnot, to inherit, to do this and that. Everything that has to do with this freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not like that. It's telling you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings with the free will to choose the religion.
Okay.
This and various verses state this, that if you guys want to believe, inna hadayna wa najdayna, ya akhi, my brother, you want to follow this, this is the religion, this is the right rule, this is the right way.
Okay.
You want to follow it or not, that's up to you. But whatever happens at the aftermath, it's on you. It's your fault. In this sense, yes. Therefore, if the...
And you mean that out of their free will and determination, they will automatically choose the religion of Allah because of the fitrah?
Yes, that's available. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the...
We'll get to that. Okay,
yeah, we'll get to that later.
Okay.
But the thing, what I want to say here is that it's telling human beings, it's sensing them, it's telling them that, it's telling the Prophet that if you rip your clothes, try to bring mountains, you break mountains, you do whatever you can.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's their choice.
Okay.
They're going to choose. It's up to them. We haven't created you in a manner where you're a Muslim or you're a kafir.
Okay.
We have created you in a manner that you choose.
Mm-hmm.
You pick Islam, you pick the religion that you want to follow,
yes,
or you don't pick. That's up to you. But at the end of the day, there comes situations where Islam is a government.
I couldn't understand where you differed from what I explained. We explained the same thing.
Yeah.
That before you become a Muslim, obviously you have a choice. There is no pressure.
Even after Islam. Sorry, I'm talking about free will here.
What about
the verse is talking about free will? It's not talking about how we deal with non-Muslims, how we preach Islam. That's
brother,
what I want to
brother
say.
Brother Habib, what about the concept of revelation and place of revelation of these words? I mean, that some of the children of Ansar, the fathers used to force them into convert into the religion of Islam because they were interested in Christianity, and then they come to Prophet Muhammad, and Prophet Muhammad says that there's no compulsion in religion.
Where is that saying?
Isn't it saying?
No, I'm asking you. Well, you're the one that brought it up.
Where's
the saying available? Where's the reference?
The reference. Okay, the reference.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I will bring the reference, man. No
while
problem.
You're looking for the reference, I want to go back to the Sayyid. I was just
giving an example.
Before Islam, huh? Because I understand.
It was just an example. It wasn't just an example that, yes, before Islam, there is the obviously you have a free will to choose whatever. But once you have chose one thing, obviously you have to follow some rules.
You can't there say that. What you're trying to say is that you can't say that you're a Muslim and therefore not still, follow Islam.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. All right. I'm cool
with that. Sorry. Thank you.
Sorry.
The reference is Al-Mizan, volume number 2, page 348. And in well, other
that's
cases,
not a reference. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Sorry, in Majma al-Bayan Tabrizi also.
And that's Jamal also not a reference. I'm sorry to tell you that as well.
What other reference?
Just read the whole read the whole narration. What do you have here?
The narration.
Maybe you translated it wrongly.
No.
It's not translated wrongly. I've seen it.
It is saying that some people from Ansar. Mm-hmm. The children, especially the sons, you know, were trying to convert into the religion of Islam because they were under the influence of two preachers of Christianity on that time through a storytelling and this and that. So, and the fathers were interested into converting them into the Islam. So they come to Prophet Muhammad and they ask him, what must we do? And says, there is no compulsional religion. Mm-hmm. And this is the Sha'an al-Nuzul of that ayah. Whatever possible, I do want to say first, if this is the case, too, first of all, the audience of this verse might be the youth or the young and this and that. And the second is that when we say there is no compulsional religion, it means that let them be free, automatically they will see the beauty of Islam and they convert into the religion of Islam. This is the case that happened at the time of Prophet Muhammad to most of his companions too, isn't it?
I think there is one thing which is like missed over here. When we are talking about the Ansar becoming Muslim, and obviously, you know, at that time there was a father and son, the whole family.
Yes, yes.
Maybe the father only converted into Islam.
Okay. Exactly.
And the children might be under the influence of maybe Christians or the Jews or
their families, their uncles.
It's like not the child who is born within the Islamic family. There's a difference.
So, no.
We need to differentiate between these two things. Uh-huh. One is a child is born into the Muslim family.
Okay.
Once there is the family from whom the father only have chosen like the Islam. And the rest haven't done it.
Yes.
And on the other hand, we have like the way you were portraying the things, like you were trying to explain the things. The Prophet has said like everyone has been born on the fitrah.
Okay.
And there is no Masihi, Yahudi, or La Nasraniyan, or La Yahudi, and there are no Christian or Jews. But on the other hand, obviously, we say that if a child has been born within the Islamic family, obviously, he's a Muslim.
Okay.
Now, he has to research about the religion first and then. And we cannot just put a ruling that he has become, for example, a Christian or he has become an atheist or maybe he has a question. And that's another issue within our Muslim families.
That's right.
That, for example, when kids have such a question, we need to give their answers. It is not necessary that they have become atheist. They might have some questions from their schools, but they have discussions with the teachers or the other other friends they have. So that also goes back to the problem that we have in parents, that they are not literate in the religious sense.
Yes.
Because they haven't studied the religion themselves, that's why they're unable to answer. And then we have these issues in the West that we have today. Brother Habib, if you have something to
we are done with the time. One moment, final.
He has something to say.
1 minute.
I wanted just to summarize what he was saying. He was saying that in this saying, first of all, let's prove its reference, right?
Yes. Okay.
If it's available, okay, come over here. Who says that this father has had enough? He's coming to, talk to the Prophet to take his advice. What do I do? I did this. I told him this about Islam. I told him this. At the end of the day, he doesn't want to believe in Islam. What should I do?
Okay.
So the Prophet says, there's no compulsional religion. You can't force someone to believe in something. There's a difference between the way you stated it and the way that I stated it.
Sorry, but the case is that at least there must be some reference to some facts during the history for the revelation of such verses of the Quran, isn't it?
If you follow my program, Quran Quest, you would see a lot of things that I state over there. One of the things that I state is that revelations of the verses have been limited to some extent. Some of them, some of the sources are weak. Some of the sources are, contrast with the verse and the meaning of the verses that the Mufassirin state. And that is why it's kind of limited. So we reach to a point that it's not necessary to know every reason of revelation, although it is helpful, but it's at the end of the day, it's not a necessary.
So I mean, finally, this ayah, I mean, this part of the ayah, La Ikraha Fid Din, must open the gates for the people in order to do more research about the religion of Islam out of the free will and determination?
Yes, they have free will. They have free will. You chose this path.
Okay.
And therefore, the aftermath of it, it's your fault.
See, there are so many questions that if the new ideas are coming up in the Muslim world by some, it is opposed by some other Muslims in a very, barbaric, violent forms, okay? That if you, for example, ask new questions or bring new doubts, you're going to be killed or something like that. Okay, I don't want the answer to that.
I believe this.
Okay.
I've never seen the Prophet, nor the Imam, alayhi wasalam, in a saying,
yes,
rebuke or criticize someone for asking something. Mm-hmm. For asking something, and look, what I mean when I say asking, they truly want to know what's right and what's wrong.
Okay.
I'm not saying what they're asking and they're trying to make, you know, make fun of the Imam or trying to make fun of the religion of Islam, like how some atheists used to do. Philosopher atheists used to sit down in Mecca. Yes.
Yes.
So I have never seen the Prophet, nor the Imam alayhi wasalam, nor the companions of the Imam alayhi wasalam do such a thing, nor have I seen scholars from the Imamiyya, right? So at the end of the day, you should tell that to some other sects of Islam, not us.
Okay, yeah. Not ours. Okay.
Us means Shia.
Shia, yeah.
Okay, thank you much, brother Habib and Sayyid Mohsen, for presence in the program. Viewpoints talking about compassion in the religion of Islam. It is very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website, apostoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life.